101.7 FM, 710 KEO, Mike and McCarty. On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Louisiana Attorney General Liz Merle joining us. First of all, Liz, good morning. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Good morning. It's great to be with y'all. It always is.
Well, we're talking about the lawsuit against the Caddo Parish Commission for violating open meeting laws. That was the initial lawsuit, correct?
It was. After an investigation by my office based on a complaint of a potential violation, we filed a lawsuit seeking to stop the commission from continuing to violate the open meetings laws.
And to vitiate
any action they took.
Because they issued a proclamation, a resolution honoring Bernie Sanders without any votes. But then the judge said, well, they went back and fixed that. But that doesn't make the fact that they broke the law, that doesn't mute that out.
Yeah, it was even worse than that. I mean, the judge essentially reasoned or lacked reasoning here. It's kind of illogical, but he concluded that they did not have a meeting, therefore there could be no violation of the open meetings law, which I think misses the point that you have to have an open meeting in order to conduct official business. So it really turns the open meetings law on its head. I mean, if every public body decided that they could do business in secret, they could do business without having a meeting and not violate the open meetings law, then we'd have a real problem. There's no point in having an open meetings law.
This judge has to be a Biden voter.
Well, Judge Davidson wrote that the case was, quote, frivolous, not properly investigated, and should not have been filed or pursued. He also said the filing appeared to be motivated for improper reasons. I would love to hear your response to that.
It's really a shocking attack on the integrity of the people in my office who do this work every day. They are not political. They receive these complaints. They investigate them without any particular bias or concern about whether predisposition about whether somebody did something wrong or not. They report those findings, and then we determine whether or not we need to pursue it. The reason we typically file a lawsuit is because of the body continuing to violate the open meetings law. And our investigation here showed that council members were giving their signature authority to the clerk and just allowing the clerk to sign their name to official actions on just based on their directive or based on his, that knowing that they would sign something, like, that's illegal. And they shouldn't be doing that. And so we don't just go after a public body because they violate the open meetings law once. We typically would send them a letter and say, hey, come do some training. Here's how to fix this. We had a lawsuit against in Livingston Parish over a violation of the open meetings law. They recognized the problem, they fixed it, and we all moved forward.
You told us a few months ago that you thought the clerk may have, and I'm quoting you, committed malfeasance in office. Do you still believe that? And if so, are you pursuing it?
I haven't pursued anything further with this lawsuit other than our appeal of this ruling. I mean, the judge's actions are clearly punitive. He issued a ruling of awarding $250,000 in attorney's fees against the state for enforcing the law. I mean, it's appalling. If you think about, I think that a lot of the press organizations are going to be pretty upset about it too, because any person can file a suit to enforce the open meetings law. It doesn't have to be done through my office. And this is clearly an attempt to chill anybody from trying to enforce the open meetings law. If you think you're going to face a $250,000 penalty for enforcing the law, then you are unlikely to try and enforce it.
Mm-hmm. So you are appealing.
Absolutely. I mean, the ruling is is a huge threat to the open meetings law. I mean, it can't stand. It can't stand up to judicial scrutiny. You know, I think it turns the law on its head. The whole point of the open meetings law is that you have to have an open meeting law, an open meeting to conduct official business. And there's no dispute here that they did something that was official business and that they were continuing to do it, that they're apparently unapologetic about continuing to allow violations of the open meetings law through their strange interpretation of how they can do things.
Hmm. Well, the fact is, on the original suit, they broke the law. It's like robbing but then the judge says, they went back and corrected it. Well, that's like robbing a bank and then going, okay, here's the money back. I got caught. Never mind. You're not going to prosecute for robbing the bank?
Well,
you broke the law.
The problem wasn't that they did it once. The problem was that they believed they could keep doing it and that they could conduct business that way.
Well, apparently they can.
I mean, like I said, you can get one free mistake. Like, you can't just do it over and over again, because now it shows that you are intentionally going to keep violating the open meetings law. That is a much bigger problem.
Now, can you get it out of this judge's courtroom? Can you appeal to the state Supreme Court?
Goes to the Second Circuit first, right?
It'll go to the Second Circuit first. And then if the Second Circuit doesn't reverse the judgment, then we go to the Louisiana Supreme Court. And if the Second Circuit does reverse the judgment, then they can try and take it to the Louisiana Supreme Court. But, I mean, I'm pretty confident in the law here. The law is very clear about what you can and cannot do. And, the problem that we had with the commission was it's continuing being intentionally, committed to continuing to violate the law, not that they did it once.
All I hear, Liz Merle, Attorney General, when you say you're appealing to the Second Circuit and then either side can take it to the state Supreme Court, all I hear is ching, cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. We're just running up the tab. No matter what, somebody in government's going to have to pay for this fight, right?
Well, the commission will continue to have to pay its lawyers. My matter is handled by in-house lawyers, mm-hmm. but the attorney fee that was assigned for this is appalling, and certainly much, much higher than anything you would ordinarily see, even in crazy New Orleans. So, I think that's a problem, and we'll address that issue too, but yes, it is costing, it's going to cost somebody some money if that judgment's allowed to stand, and that would be the taxpayers of this state.
One last thing. Anything you care to say about what's happening in New Orleans? I know we've had a lot of your spokespeople on talking about it, but is there anything new on that you want to talk about?
That's a whole hour.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we'll have to speak to them once I get the indictment dismissed. And
okay.
I'm continuing to work toward that. I think that, I've said before that the whole thing is a travesty. It turns the justice system on its head, and it undermines confidence in the criminal justice system. Mm. It's a shame. I'll speak a lot more to, what my thoughts are about it after we get the indictment dismissed.
Gotcha.
Keep up the good fight.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me. Y'all have a great day.
And Attorney General Liz Merle, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Q.
Mayor Tom Arsenault is going to join us in about 20 minutes. We'll talk about the Red River District. Is 50 Cent angry? What's going on? We'll see if the mayor knows anything about what's happening.
Stay with us, Mike and McCarty.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Q.
All right, House voted yesterday on the Sunshine Protection Act and mm-hmm. passed.
Yes.
Passed it like 308 to 117.
Yeah, all the Louisiana congressmen, every one of them voted for it.
Yeah.
It's now got to go back to the Senate for, whatever the differences are in the two bills. The Senate passed one a few years ago, so it's probably dead.
The Senate passed it in 22.
Yeah, but I think it's a different version or something.
Right.
So. This one does let states opt out. If your state decides you want to keep changing the clock, you can do that. I hope no states do that,
that's
but they might. We have a law in place that it triggers.
Right.
So immediately once this passes and the president signs it, ours is triggered. I'm hoping we might not have to turn the clock back in November.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Could just leave it. I'm worried it might go into effect in January or something like that, but
right,
I'm hoping right. It could kick in right away. We could avoid doing this fall mess.
Because we're on daylight saving time now.
Yes.
So let's just leave it.
Mm-hmm. And in November, we would fall back, which but we don't want to do.
There's no scheduled time for the Senate to take it up yet.
Right.
That's the problem.
And the Senate's dealing with the death of one senator. Another's in the hospital. So they've got, you know, they've kind of been slow on getting anything done right now. So
now, have you seen this, quote, proof of life photo that was released by, I just went blank.
Mitch McConnell?
McConnell, thank you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
With his wife standing next to him. Well, they're saying that's from 2023. There's so much going on.
I did see an AI expert go over that photo.
Okay.
And said it's a legitimate photo. It's not AI.
It's a legitimate photo.
But when was it taken?
2023.
Yeah, that's the problem.
But then others are saying, no, there's the newspaper. But they say if you zoom into the newspaper, the text all becomes garbled. You can't read the text.
They're claiming he's got a current newspaper on his lap,
right,
which makes it a current photo. You know, I don't know. There are people who say they've spoken to him as well. I don't know. You know, I'm praying for him. I'm not going to wish anybody ill will or evil. Those that are, you know, saying things about Lindsey Graham, I'm glad he's dead and things like that. Shame
Aaron,
on you.
That is unbelievable.
You're a despicable human being.
That is pure evil.
You're celebrating
a man's death because you don't agree with him politically.
Right.
Bernie Sanders died,
mm-hmm.
Come on and celebrate?
It's not
Or even Mamdami.
It's not what Christian people do.
We're not going to wish ill. I don't agree with them. Don't want them in power.
They still have families. They still have loved ones. They still have people that care about them. So to get out there on social media and make those kind of statements, you're a despicable human being.
Yes.
And shame on you.
Which is maybe why you don't have a job.
Right. Because you're sitting on social media all day, you know, cheering someone's death. Good God. You're just a keyboard warrior who's despicable, and shame on you. If I were your mother, I would probably, you would be in trouble with me. I'm just saying, big time.
It's unbelievable.
Good luck looking at your mother in the eyes is all I got to say.
Oh, they probably don't care. If you
don't
have a conscience, you don't care.
You don't care.
And if you say something like that, you don't have a conscience.
Right. There's no one that could die that I would sit here and cheer and go, yay, I'm glad he's gone. It just wouldn't happen. Even the worst human being in the world. You know, it's for God to judge, guys. It's for God to judge, not us.
We spoke with Mayor Tom Arsenault, cryptic text from 50 Cent yesterday saying you may have to say goodbye to the Red River. Now, that's what he said.
Yeah.
Not Shreveport, but he said the Red River.
Right.
Which you think it means the Red River District.
That's what I think. Yeah.
Mayor Arsenault will share his thoughts in about 10 minutes. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I got to stop watching the news.
Why?
All of this pushing socialism. These people are thinking this is going to be some sort of panacea, Aaron.
Yeah.
These kids that think there's going to be free housing. By the way, have you ever seen government housing? Just asking.
funny you should bring that up. Yeah, you got a point.
Free health care. Free child care. Let me just remind you of the phrase, you get what you pay for.
Absolutely.
And do you want to trust your small children to that?
Yeah.
Government-run child care? Now, other than the military, and even the military is only under certain administrations, name me three things the government runs that's more efficient, cheaper, and better than the private sector.
Let me get back with you on that.
Might be
a minute.
Yeah. And yet these young people think they want to turn everything over to the government.
Yeah.
I hope you don't want a house one day.
Right.
Because private ownership is going, it would go away. And people think this is hyperbole. It isn't.
And we sure know how public housing turns out.
Yeah. Have you seen public housing?
Yeah.
And Aaron, take it to its extreme. You have a dog. You know, you love your dog. What if the government decides, oh, those aren't safe anymore? you can't have those anymore.
Oh, nobody can have those.
I mean,
oh, it's too much.
You're opening a dangerous door, people.
Letting the government into your lives too much is a problem.
Governor, Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault spoke to us about 50 Cent in his cryptic message about Shreveport. Hear what Tom's got to say right after the break. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Mayor Tom Arsenault on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning.
Yay, it works. Ruben's out, so I keep my fingers crossed every time
I'm always proud of myself when I do something technological.
Me too, Mayor. First, let's let Mike read you 50 Cent's Instagram post that he put up yesterday, which has everybody in town abuzz about what the heck going. And everybody's worried, is he done with Shreveport? What's he doing?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not real clear. Here it is. There are people in Shreveport that just don't want things to get better. I only make deals that make sense. I'm going to have to pull back on the Red River. Peace.
What's he talking about? Do you know?
Well, here's one thing that I have learned in all my years. I'm not a very good mind reader.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Okay. Then let me ask you, have you had discussions or has anyone in the city had discussions about Curtis 50 Cent Jackson or G Unit running and or managing or leasing or taking over the Red River District? Is that part of this? Could it be?
We have had discussions about some particular assets down there being under lease to him, yes.
Did those negotiations go south, to your knowledge at all?
I do not think so.
So is that still on the table as a possible option that G-Unit runs the Red River District?
I don't think we have not had any significant discussions about him running the Red River District. I believe that there still should be positive and open negotiations on leasing a couple of spots.
So you don't think, Aaron doesn't think, but it doesn't make it clear that he's going to say, okay, goodbye to Shreveport. I'm done.
Oh, no, he's not going to do that. I feel very confident about that. He's still planning to do the things. He's got $50 million from the state of Louisiana. I think that that he's going to move forward. It's just a question of question what he wants to do in the Red River District, because we have deals on everything else.
And that's what it looks like to me. It's a Red River District issue. Someone else is suggesting that there have been some holdouts of some building owners downtown, some buildings that he wants, and they've been holding out because they realize, you know, once he starts pumping money and investing, their property values go up. But that may be what this is. It may be as simple as that he's trying to buy a building and he can't get through these owners who are saying, nah, we're going to wait and let you do all the heavy lifting, and then our building price will go up. Could it be something as simple as that?
Again, Aaron, I have learned over many years that I should not speculate on what somebody else is thinking or meaning when they make a statement that is subject to several interpretations.
Okay, well, I've got a quick question sort of on topic then. Huge rain yesterday. How did Millennium Studios fare during that deluge?
You know, I don't, I actually don't know, Mike. I got some videos. It did not look to me like any water got in the building, but I haven't checked with them. I was involved with the city council yesterday afternoon and came home and got those videos late, and needed to get a good night's sleep. So I really don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
When someone like Curtis 50 Cent Jackson posts a message like he did, where, you know, the whole town's now buzzing about what does he mean? What does he mean? How concerned are you as the mayor?
Well, I prefer to have our communications face to face, or man to man, and not on Instagram.
So will you be reaching out to him or his team today to find out what he means, what he's talking about?
I feel certain that we'll have some idea about that, but I'll probably do it through other people.
Okay. And on the scale of 1 to 10, worried that this could impact his investment in Shreveport? Worried, 1 being not worried at all, 10 being, I'm pretty concerned.
In terms of the things that he's already done, a 1.
Okay.
Yeah, this would seem to be a small percentage of what he has plans.
Correct.
So he's not pumping the brakes on building the dome? We're still moving full steam ahead on that?
I would say he's invested a lot of money in the dome, and he's poised to invest a lot of money in both Stageworks and Millennium. I think those two things will go forward.
Okay. Do we have any other companies or any other people interested in investing or running the Red River District? I mean, if we did, it'd be like, oh, this is great. We can have a little bidding war, but there's not people coming out of the woodwork, is there?
There are people who express interest in leasing the spaces. We at some point need a manager down there, whether that's somebody that we hire to be a city employee to look after those things. Most of these transactions, it appears, are going to be enough one-off transactions that they're going to have to have individual negotiations. So, you know, I don't know that we necessarily need a leasing agent, but that's something for us to consider.
All right, Mayor Tom Arsenault.
Sure enough. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate your willingness to be with us. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel.
For breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Well, why not? 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, Mike and McCarty. Somebody sent in a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. And, there's so many computers over here. There's so many different mouses. I have to be careful. That's why I'm prefacing it, saying I haven't confirmed anything.
No, I wouldn't even go there. I really wouldn't. I think it's a joke. People put stuff on social media that are just jokes. So I'm just telling you.
Okay. Well, sorry. Sorry to open that.
Yeah.
We'll find out and then I'll let you know.
Yes. I do want to thank, and we'll have some of the folks that are lining up as we speak down there on Mansfield Road. We got rescue crews that are lining up with their boats Their trailers, their rescue equipment, and they're leaving. I mean, they're heading from Shreveport-Bossier to Texas, where there have been devastating floods. And 59 counties are now under a disaster declaration in Texas. Wow. From yesterday, some areas got upward of 15 inches of rain. And it's just devastated. San Antonio's hard hit.
Okay.
A lot of different areas. I'm not sure where these crews are going, but we'll have one of them, the head guy, joining us coming up after 7. But, Mike, that's who these people are. They'll drop their lives in a heartbeat. Absolutely. Just drop their lives in a heartbeat and move out to help.
Right.
That's just, it's just incredible. And some of our firefighters, Bossier firefighters, our Caddo Fire District, it really is. It's just impressive. And I can't thank them enough. And their families, you know, they know mom or dad is leaving and they're going to be gone for however long, at least a week, probably more.
Wow.
And they're going to be out in the hot sun, out in these boats, trying to help do what they can.
Right.
So those are the kind of people we live among that, you know, are just the best of the best.
You know, in my interactions during the course of a day, I'm constantly reminded, Aaron, that things aren't as bad as the left and the media want you to believe.
Nope, they're not.
They're not.
They're not.
Race relations, yes, as a general rule, are strained. There's reasons. But in my interactions on a daily basis?
Never. I never have a problem.
I don't either. I don't either.
And if I were to need help, you know, I saw a post the other day from a woman who said her child was involved in a wreck. And I hope we find this man, because a black gentleman stopped. He had an LSU shirt on, and he stopped to be with her child and calm her down and make sure she was okay. And then when police and everybody arrived, he left. And she was just wanting to thank him.
Right.
Just wanting to say thanks. And it didn't matter the color of the skin. It really didn't. He was there to help this teenager in a moment of, you know, when a teenager's in a wreck, it's a panic.
We have far more in common than we do apart.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
We really do.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's just trying to get along.
Yeah.
Just trying to get through the day.
Exactly.
Government, leave us alone.
Mm-hmm.
Let us do our jobs. And let us get through the day.
Yes, yes, definitely.
That's the thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to talk with the Shreveport firefighter Chris Burden coming up after the news, top of the hour. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Ruben is out, so Mike's in charge over there, and we were just sitting here chit-chatting, and Mike wasn't doing his job, so we're going to catch up with
you're asking me some weird questions about
flooding. I know, it was very weird. We have a local crew that is about to leave. Hang on a minute. Let me text him. About to leave for Texas to help. And they are going to be bringing a crew of about 8 people with boats and everything else to help with the flooding in Texas. And that, for me, Mike, is what these people do best. And I say that, they do so many things great, but they drop their lives. They just drop what they're doing and they go help others. And we have folks from the Shreveport Fire Department, the Bossier Fire Department, a couple of Caddo Fire Districts are going. They're bringing boats, water rescue equipment. Hang on, he says it's going to be a few minutes. So call Chief Reese.
I'm calling Chief Reese right
okay.
now.
Okay. Chief Reese will jump on with us, I think. Because Chris Burden is leading the charge, and he's getting all the guys together. They're about to pull out if they haven't already. And they're getting all the equipment lined up and ready to go. Hopefully Chief Reese will pick up the phone because he's out there with them, you know, for a send-off this morning. And I believe they gathered out on Mansfield Road. But you, when you go into a situation like that, you don't know what you're going to find. You don't know, are you going to be rescuing people? Are you going to be finding bodies? Are you going to be, you know, getting people off their rooftops? You don't know what you're going to find.
Now, what areas are they going to? San Antonio, you said, was hit pretty hard.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they have determined an exact area where they're going. Chris says it's going to be a few. We can take a break here.
Sure.
Let's do that, and then we'll come back and catch up with them. Because I want to hear where they're going, you know, what their mission is, and who they'll be meeting up with, and who asked for the help, and all that good stuff. So we'll get in touch with Burden here in just a second and find out what all they're doing.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kia.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
See, this is what happens with live radio.
Mm-hmm, yep.
We're here right now. You're in your car. We're here talking to you. It's live.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes snafus happen. The Shreveport Fire Department has teams getting ready to head to Texas to assist in flood relief efforts. And we spoke with firefighter Chris Burden earlier and got him set up to talk with us, but They're kind of getting ready to leave.
Yeah, they're putting all the equipment in line. Everybody's kind of being given their marching orders. So hopefully we'll catch up with him here in the next few minutes and before they pull out, because they're all getting ready to go. Chief Reese is out there with them, to send them off. I just love guys that do these kinds of things that just jump at a moment's notice, put their life completely on hold, and go do these kinds of things. It really is awesome.
Like our own Keith Bryant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They really do. They do incredible work. Try his number again and see if you can catch up with him, because I'm looking at the pictures and they are all, it looks like there's about 8 guys that are gathered and they're about to hit the road. I'm not sure yet if they're going to the San Antonio area or if they're going to Kerrville or what parts of Texas. I do know that the governor has declared 59 counties a disaster area, and they had some parts of Texas got as much as 15 inches of rain yesterday, and they need help. They need help with, you know, rescue efforts. They need help in recovery efforts. We don't know anything yet about the death toll or, you know, how many casualties we may have in these floods. You just don't know because they happen so fast, and you're not sure, you know, were there people in this home that got surrounded by water? You just never know. It's really kind of scary. No luck. Okay.
So they're busy right now. We'll try to schedule and get them back on at a later time.
Okay,
maybe
cool.
Maybe when they're on the road.
Yes, absolutely.
We talked earlier about that the House voting on the Sunshine Protection Act, mm-hmm. Aaron, the House passed it.
Yes.
And that was the hurdle, because the Senate did pass it in 22 or 23.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a little different bill. And so the Senate, it has to go back to the Senate again. And then President Trump said he would sign it.
Right. Absolutely. And he did. I saw him speak about it the other day, and he said it didn't matter to him which one he said he's hearing from people that they want more sunshine in the evening, but he said he just wants it one way or the other,
mm-hmm.
you know, either do it one way or the other and stop changing the clocks. I think this House version gives states the option to do it or not, which I think is silly, because there may
right.
be,
if we're going to do it, let's do it.
What if Mississippi decides, you know, they're not, you know, they're going to keep changing. Then when you drive right across the border, it's a different time. Arkansas decides not to do it. I think most will embrace it.
I think the number of states that have trigger laws is now up to 20.
Oh, cool.
Louisiana
okay.
being one of those states. I know 19, but I think I'd read a report yesterday that said now 20 states have enacted trigger laws. We spoke with Dodi Horton, who authored ours, and said once Congress passes it, it automatically goes into effect for Louisiana.
Yeah, it doesn't look like, I was reading Louisiana's, it doesn't look like we have a waiting period or anything like that. So if the president signs that between now and November, we may not have to fall back with the clocks in November.
Wouldn't that be lovely?
That really would be. Now, there are some, I saw a report last night saying, well, in some places, the sun doesn't come up until 9 in the morning. Is that what we really want?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that's when the sun comes up, that's when the sun comes up, people.
And have sunlight until 9 or 10 at night. That'd be great.
Yeah.
For us, it keeps sunlight until about 8:30, probably,
right.
I would guess.
Okay.
And we don't have sunrise until like 7-ish or something like that.
With you and my schedule, I start gearing down about 8:30.
Right.
Because we get up around 4 or you even earlier. So during the winter, when it's dark at 5 o'clock, it is much easier for me to go to bed. Because it feels so much later.
Right, right.
Now it's tough to go to bed when it's daylight so late. But I make it work.
The only thing I don't like about it in the morning is that, and this is silly, we have night and day patterns for some radio stations.
Yeah.
And
daytimers.
We
are there still daytimers?
We stay on low power. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We do.
Oh,
we stay on,
I got you.
We
yeah.
stay on low power until sunrise.
Yes.
And so folks who like to listen to our show, well, you're going to have us on low power longer in the morning, which is a little bit of a problem but I tell you that to tell you, listen on the stream. It's always the best way to listen because it's digital, it's clearer. And if we screw up and say something silly, guess what? You get to hear it on the stream.
Because the delay doesn't work on the stream.
Yeah, you get to hear when McCarty says something horrible and, you know, and it goes out to the world. Because Ruben can, yeah, he can hit the button for me on the radio station, but he can't hit the button for me on the stream. So it's best to listen on the stream anyway. Oh, just good. FYI. Did you ever turn it on?
I just turned it on.
Oh, good. Okay.
Delay. So
now I can say bad words.
Well, give it a minute. It's got to roll up.
It's
so give it a minute.
Yeah, but I hope the Senate acts on this. I'm not anticipating it being quick. The Senate's kind of on a snail's pace right now on anything. You know, with the death of Graham, they've got McConnell that's
well,
out.
Well, they did swear in Lindsey Graham's sister.
Yes, they did. So she's going to be taking his place pretty quickly. So.
You know what surprised me that I never realized? All this footage that they've been showing these past couple of days on Lindsey Graham. He's tiny.
Oh, is he really?
I was like, wait, look. Look how small he was.
I did not know that.
He was standing next to Trump, and he's like a foot shorter.
Wow.
Because all you ever see is behind the podium or something.
Yes.
Or sitting at a desk in the Senate. You never see them.
That's true.
Like on the golf course.
Yeah, that's true.
It just caught me off guard a little bit.
And when I told somebody how tiny Mike Johnson was, they went, no, he's not.
Right.
I said, yes, he is.
Right.
He's
yeah.
a little bitty guy. Sorry, Mike. I don't mean little, you know, but he's not a tall, 6-foot strapping, big old muscle-bound guy. He's just not.
And a lot of celebrities over the years that I've met, a lot of artists, I was surprised. Randy Travis, for some reason, I thought Randy Travis was a tall, lanky drink of water. He's a short little popcorn
fart. He is. He's a little bitty guy.
And George Strait was shorter than I was expecting.
Yes.
Clint Black, he was a tiny little thing.
A lot of them are. Yeah.
I knew Tom Cruise was tiny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But, it's funny how they are so large, they loom large in your mind.
I know, you think they're big, these huge figures, and it's not the case for a lot of them. That's for darn sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, hopefully we can catch up with the fire department folks coming up in the next 10 minutes. I'm going to try to regroup and figure out, you know, who's available.
Aaron, I can talk about this now. We got a picture on the Shreveport Security Systems message board that said, Behind this wall, we're building towards our next destination. This is at the Shreveport Regional Airport.
Yeah.
Some really exciting news.
Oh, cool.
Mark Crawford, with the Shreveport Regional Airport Authority, is going to join us after the news top of the hour.
Wonderful.
This is very exciting.
You bet.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Shreveport Fire Department Battalion Chief with Task Force 3, Chris Burden joining us. Chris, good morning. Thanks for jumping on with us. There we are. Yes, sir. Thanks for jumping on with us this morning. Tell us now, you've got a team heading to Texas for flood relief efforts. Where are you guys heading this morning?
We're checking in Bryan, Texas.
Explain how you were called to help. How does that process work, Chris?
So last year we sent a team to Texas for the floods last year, and what they did this time was they called prior to sending out EMACs asking what the state of Louisiana had available. So we were able to field two Type 3 swift water teams, the one from Shreveport and one from Baton Rouge. Once we found out that what their needs were, we started rostering a team, and everything was we're still gathering stuff together, still getting our minds what we need to take, but we can't start packing or loading until we get the official request.
And what are those needs? What are you expecting when you get there?
We're going to be doing swift water rescues, and some of that. They've been doing swift water rescues for the last 2 days in South Texas. So we'll be backfilling with them and following thunderstorms as they pop up. And because they've had so much rain, there's not really a very good runoff. So it magnifies really fast. So we'll follow, if we're not actively doing rescues in a certain location, they'll have us following storms around in case it does start flash flood.
For those who don't know the swift water team, and describe the equipment you're taking with you.
We're taking seven people, two boats, which are their new Wally boats, but they're inflatable, Zodiac inflatable equivalent. They're designed for swift water rescue. The personal PPE, wet swift water vest, dry suits. We'll have all that. We'll have throw bags. We'll be able to build systems if we have to do some type of rope rescue on the water without the boats. The only thing that we don't have capability of is helicopter rescue.
Okay.
Now you're going to be basing in Bryan, Texas. Are you going to be going out to other areas from Bryan?
I would imagine. I haven't talked to the DIV supervisor yet, but I would imagine that once we check in Bryan, they'll let us know where we're heading from there.
Is it possible, Chris, that this could be recovery efforts of people who didn't make it through? Could that be part of this too? Or is your focus going to be on rescuing people who still need help?
We'll start off on rescue, but then it could change to a recovery. It just depends on the circumstance.
That to me, and I say this to you and to your entire team, my heart goes out to you, and my thanks goes out to you from our community, because you don't know what you're in for. And you just picked up your life. You guys just picked up your life and put it on hold and said, I'm going to go and do what I need to do. What makes a person like that, like you?
I mean, you know, most of the guys on the team, you know, they have families. They don't want their families to have to go through the same thing. Anytime that we have something here, the other states, you know, they're willing to come help. Texas comes and helps all the time. Florida, South Carolina, all the states that we've been to, when we send out the same request, I mean, they're knocking down the door to come help. So we're just trying to do the same and help them anytime we can.
And when you say Swift Water Rescue, I can only imagine the kind of training you guys go through. Y'all are great swimmers. You're comfortable in the water. You know what to expect in the water. How much training have these guys all been through to do this kind of stuff?
We have to do swim tests prior to the actual class, but everybody that's deploying has gone through awareness operations and the technician level for swift water and a boat operator's class.
Okay.
We're talking with Battalion Chief Chris Burden. Chris, how long are you expected to be down there?
The EMAC was for 7 days, so it could be minus that or a couple of days longer, depending on the circumstances and the needs once we get down there.
And do y'all know yet your living conditions? Will you be in hotels, or do you have any idea yet?
It'll be hotel rooms, unless we're having to do some type of 24-hour operation.
Okay. Which
they try to limit it to 16 hours, but if something happens, we could run 24 hours for the first day or so.
Wow. Well,
you guys stay safe.
Absolutely. Our prayers are with you, and thank you to your whole team from us, please. We appreciate everything you do.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks.
Thank you. Chris Burden, Shreveport Fire Department, Mike McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
All more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
It's hot, by the way.
It is.
It's just letting you know if you didn't realize.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little thing came up yesterday. I love watching the city council when they kind of, I don't want to use the word bicker, but they have these little challenges among themselves. And
there's egos involved?
There's a little bit of ego, but they were talking about, and Alan Jackson was saying it in jest, but he was like, there's a great city swimming pool open in District A, in District B, in District C. There's not one in D. There's not one in Grayson Butcher's district. And he said, but the one in my district is not open yet. And I would like an update. He of course, represents the area around the Southern Hills pool. And I have been, if you see, I'm a pool aficionado, and I have been following the pools and when they're opening and what, you know, I just went last week to the Airport Park pool opening.
Yeah, you went to the Grand. Did you go down the slide?
No, because it was lightning.
And John Glover went down.
Well, she went down Bill Cockrell.
Oh, my bad.
Airport Park. I think somebody from one of the TV stations might have gone down before lightning hit.
Okay.
But I would have. I was fully clothed, and I would have. I would have. You know me. Would have done it. But
through the splash pads.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Fully clothed. I love swimming, and I love pools, and I think it's a great way to for kids to enjoy their summers. And so Alan Jackson was saying, what's up? Why is my pool not open? And so I went by the Southern Hills pool last week after the airport pool, Airport Park. And I talked to Shelley while we were at the Airport Park. And I said, what's up with Southern Hills? It was supposed to open June 30th. And then they pushed that back to July 17th, which would be 2 days from now, Friday, right?
Yeah.
And when I talked to her last week, she said, we're going to push that back at least a week. So that would be the 24th, right? From Friday?
School's open the next week.
I know.
Well, maybe not literally, but very close.
And she told the council yesterday, next Friday might not even be the day. I think they're still pushing for next Friday, but the problem is concrete. The problem is they can't get the trucks to deliver the concrete they need to do the new decking and the new pool surface and all that. They've made headway at the Southern Hills pool, but they're not done. And they're still waiting. Yesterday, they were expecting a delivery of concrete on Monday. That rain on Monday stopped that. Mm.
And it's because there's a lot of construction going on. Is that right?
Jimmy Davis Bridge. You had the I-20. You have work going on at SLB. Lots of people need the concrete. Now, the concrete's in plenty of supply. It's the trucks to get them.
Okay.
To get the concrete to you is what's slow. So still a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks away from the Southern Hills pool. But it's coming. It's coming.
Very cool. Very cool news. We got a listener send us a post concerning the Shreveport Regional Airport. Mark Crawford, marketing director at the airport, or he's with the airport authority, going to join us after the news top of the hour. Give us some more details. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
I was at the intersection on Line Avenue and Kings Highway.
Mm-hmm.
Right there by Bird.
Right.
Okay. Very busy intersection. Coming up from 49, from the west on Kings Highway, was a guy on an e-bike.
Okay.
He blows through the intersection, turns left, going north on Line Avenue.
All right.
Aaron, he took off, I mean, like a rocket. That thing was flying down the road. He had no helmet.
Oh, gosh.
He was not obeying traffic laws. And there's... At what point do these become motorcycles?
Yeah.
Because he was, I guarantee he was going at least 40 miles an hour by the time he started down Line Avenue.
Wow.
We got a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. Because in your news report, we had a death attributed to an e-bike accident.
Mm-hmm.
In the report, in the press release report, I didn't see where they were wearing helmets or any safety gear.
I'm not sure. And actually, two people died. A woman died in that accident last week.
Yes.
And the man who was driving it, he just succumbed to his injuries. So, yeah, it's not good.
So the message says, we need e-bikes regulations. They're motorized vehicles. And some of them go up to, some of them go up to 40 miles per hour. He's right. They frequently don't follow traffic signals. I just witnessed that.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them on Highway 80 in Bossier at Red Chute going faster than traffic. And you know they don't have insurance.
Yeah.
So when they hit someone else's vehicle and do damage, who's going to pay? I think the legislature needs to do something about them.
Right. Absolutely.
I agree with you, Barry, from Martin. Because I've seen them, like I say, I've seen them tootling down the road, no helmet, No, they don't follow traffic laws. I guess they think, well, I'm on a bicycle.
Yeah.
Well, you're on a motorized vehicle now. I've got a buddy that's got a golf cart that goes kind of faster, and it's got tires on it, more like a car.
Mm-hmm.
He's got it licensed for the street. Now, it's
really?
It's considered an LSV, low-speed vehicle.
Okay.
But it's got turn signals. It's got a brake light.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a license plate. So he'll tootle down Fairfield and go to Berkshire's or something like that, and he's legal. I'm assuming he would have to have a seatbelt.
I assume so.
But do these e-bikes fall under those LSV regulations? Are they going to need to be licensed now? Because they're getting better and better.
Right. And we don't have a helmet law in Louisiana, do we?
Absolutely we do.
We do?
Yes, we do.
Oh, then they need to be wearing helmets.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought we removed the helmet law. We did not. Okay.
No, we did not.
I did not realize that. Okay. I thought we made it. Was it Texas that removed it?
Yes.
Okay, that's what it was.
Mark Crawford with the Shreveport Regional Airport Authority joining us. Some exciting news for Shreveport Regional Airport. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Key. FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. A listener sent us a message earlier this morning with a picture from the Shreveport Regional Airport, and without confirming, I didn't want to, well, I wanted to say something, but Aaron, you said, hold on.
Yeah, be careful with unless you've confirmed anything. Yeah.
Because it could be AI, but they have signs up, and the sign says, "Behind this wall, we are building towards our next destination."
Cool.
And it has a picture that says, "International Departure Gate."
Really?
International Arrivals.
International.
International Baggage Claim. This is exciting, Aaron, on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Mark Crawford from the Shreveport Regional Airport joining us. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Tell us about what is going on. This is exciting news.
It is. We are making lots of new and great improvements here at the airport. And one of those is we are building out an international arrivals and departure gate at gate one. So if you've flown in the last several years, you may remember that there was a gate that was walled off for a number of years. We reopened it 3 or 4 years ago. It's behind the wall again. And so that is because they are building out the international arrivals, departure, and baggage claim area. So we're very excited about that to open. The space should be ready hopefully by the end of the year. And we're hoping by next summer we have an international destination to announce.
Now, you said in order to have international flights, you obviously have to have customs and customs agents. So y'all are working on that as well.
Right. So it's kind of the chicken and the egg. You can't have scheduled international flights until you have a processing facility. We've actually had customs and border protection agents here at the airport for a number of years. You know, I've been here 15 years, and they've been here since before I worked here. And so we do a ton of international, no pun intended, a ton of international cargo each year. We have international cargo flights arriving almost daily and sometimes several times a day. Coming in and out. So the customs agents service those flights as well. We have international charters that arrive every now and then, and then also international diversions. Shreveport Regional Airport serves as a diversion city for DFW and Love Field airports and Houston as well. And so we do get international diversions from time to time when they can't land in a different city that they're supposed to. And so those customs agents will go and inspect the planes and the passengers and all that. So we're very excited now that when that happens, we'll have a facility for that to happen in and a facility to have scheduled international flights for the residents of the aqueducts as well.
Because I was going to say, you have been designated a U.S. Customs Landing Rights Airport for a little while, but mostly that's been, like you said, for charter, private, corporate, and
cargo.
Commercial cargo flights.
Yes.
Now we might be expanding to international flights. Like where? Give me some ideas. I'm thinking Cancun. I'm thinking somewhere else in Mexico. What are we looking at?
Well, I can tell you this. And so we're working with a lot of several different airlines for multiple destinations. But Cancun is our number one international destination that people fly to from Shreveport.
Mm-hmm.
So every single day, 15 people a day fly to Cancun from Shreveport, and about another 60 to 65 people per day drive to a different airport, mostly Dallas, to fly to Cancun. So we have, you know, roughly 70 to 80 people a day from the Shreveport-Bossier, you know, an hour bubble away from Shreveport on a map, are flying to Cancun every day from our region. And so our goal is to have a Cancun flight for next summer is our main number one request from the airlines.
Wow. What other locations are you looking at?
Also at Cozumel, you know, Cozumel is also in the top five international destinations. London, randomly, is our second most traveled international destination. I don't know that we'll ever see London service from Shreveport because of the distance. You know, Cancun's not too far of a flight from here. You know, we talk to the airlines all the time. I go to three or four conferences a year where we talk about new service here or expanding our existing service. Like, we just got a second daily Denver 2 months ago, and that was for me begging them to get us some additional service. But we're also letting them know that there's an international area that'll be available hopefully by the end of the year so they can fly anything they want to in here any time of the year.
Mark, we're talking with Mark Crawford, Shreveport Regional Airport. Mark, with these new destinations, are you looking at new airlines being able to come into Shreveport Regional? And is the name going to change to Shreveport International Airport?
So we meet with, like I said, I go to several conferences a year, and we request meetings with every airline that's at these, all the airlines that are at these conferences. We met with Volaris and Viva Aerobus earlier this year and late last year, letting them know. And those are, Mexican cargo carriers, from Mexico. And so they're not familiar with, usually those people are not familiar with Shreveport. So we want to make sure they know who we are, where we are, and that we have the facilities soon to be available. So we're talking to all, not just American, Delta, and United, and Allegiant. We're talking to all the airlines. We talked to Southwest. We talked to Alaska. We were talking to Spirit before they went away. You know, we talked to JetBlue. So we talked to all of them. And so hopefully at some point, if people continue to choose to fly from Shreveport and our numbers continue to grow, more airlines will be interested in serving the airport here. But as far as changing the name to Shreveport International Airport, I don't know that we're doing that quite yet. I would say that we would want to make sure that we have, you know, several years of sustained international service. Just to make sure we don't change the name and the service goes away if it's not used. So I wouldn't rule that out completely, but I wouldn't say that's anything we're focusing on doing anytime soon.
Mark, what do the airlines need to see from you and from our market before they will start offering international service? What are some of the nuts and bolts behind the scenes that they need to see before they'll come in and say, yeah, we'll fly to Cancun once a day or twice a week or whatever?
Well, number one is the facility, like I mentioned. So you have to have that no matter what. You can't have the international service without a facility to process the people. But number two, and this is almost bigger than the facility, is the demand to go there. So, and we've said this for years, you know, we did that Fly Shreveport First campaign. You know, the more people that choose to fly from Shreveport, the more the airlines will add additional service. So, like I mentioned, you know, Denver, we've had Denver since 2012. We've been begging for a second flight since almost 2012, when that flight's done well, you know, since almost the beginning. And so they finally did that in May of this year. And that's because people continue to choose to fly from Shreveport. They didn't drive to Dallas or Alexandria or Monroe. And we do realize sometimes it makes sense to go to a different airport if the flight, you know, the prices are much cheaper and you have a large group, or, you know, for various reasons. But, you know, when people choose to, kind of like any other small business, when people choose to support a small business, or a local business, that business is able to grow bigger.
Well, let me stop you. Let me stop you, Mark. Let's pretend like we're not on the radio. Stop driving to Dallas. I did it for years. And I was saving maybe $200 a ticket. And then I did the math. And I thought, 3 hours over, 3 hours back, parking, the headache, the big crowds in Dallas. It is not worth your time. Spend the $200. You might be surprised. It might not even be that much. Stop driving to Dallas, folks.
Well, after your trip, then you fly back into Dallas. You got 3 hours drive home still.
Yes, you're not 10 minutes from your house.
Well, and I'll tell you this. Like I mentioned, I've been here 15 years, and when I first started here, we were always, always, always way more expensive than Dallas. And a lot of times we were more expensive than Alexandria and Monroe and Longview and all these much smaller airports around us. And that is thankfully not as much the case anymore. You were kind of in line with those smaller airports near us. And obviously you will certainly find, you know, sometimes cheaper fares from Dallas. But when you calculate the true total cost of flying from Shreveport versus flying from Dallas or another airport, a lot of times, like y'all said, it's certainly, you know, you're not saving a whole lot of money.
Mark, real quick.
And you're certainly not saving time.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, I remember years ago, I heard a story about a pilot that landed a 747 here because it was diverted. And it was kind of a rough landing. And one of the passengers, a friend of mine, said, and he told me this, I don't know if it's true now, but he said, well, the Shreveport, man, y'all aren't set up for these big planes. That's not true, is it?
That is not true. Absolutely not. And we had probably 2 months ago, Western Global, which is a cargo airline that is a tenant here, they flew 747s in and out of here for years. You know, they moved in 2017. That 747 was sitting here on the ground until about maybe 2 months ago. And what's out there now, Western Global is ending their time here. They're moving to Blytheville, Arkansas. You know, we've got SkyWest in the big blue maintenance hangar here at the airport. And so we're glad to have them here. But they have those big MD-11s, which are the three-engine giant jumbo jets from yesteryear that are all only used for cargo now. But those are here. And so the 747 took off and landed here dozens and dozens of times while Western Global was fully operational here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we could land a B-52 on the runway here at the airport. There would be some logistics for the taxiways because they're not exactly all wide enough for us or for a B-52 to go down.
That's a huge wingspan.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And so, and we actually randomly, and this is a unique feature about Shreveport Regional Airport. Most commercial runways are 150 feet wide. Ours is 200 feet wide. So that's one of the reasons why you can land a B-52 here. Part of the reason why you can land a B-52 here. So, go back to what your friend said, that is not exact. That's not true at all. There's, like I said, those 747s landed here. For years with Western Global.
Right. All right, Mark, book me on the first flight out of Shreveport to Cancun. I'm on it.
Absolutely.
Good. I'll give you my credit card number off the air.
Perfect.
Take care.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mark, for the update. Mark Crawford, Shreveport Regional Airport. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710.
Yes. More of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Ticked.
And it's probably AI, too.
Oh, I'm sure it's AI. I'm sure it is. I get sucked in, Mike, and I'm so mad at myself.
That it got you.
There's a thing they're doing on social media now where they put under somebody's name that's a real common name. Like, this is a Susan Brown, okay?
I actually know a Susan Brown.
I know a Susan Brown, too.
Exactly.
So I'm thinking, okay, what's going on with Susan? I hadn't seen Susan. I don't even remember last time I saw Susan. And she says she's a nanny for a family in the Hamptons. The stuff rich people spend money on would shock you. Then she goes into how much they spend on the live flowers and how much they spend on the silverware and blah, blah, blah. It's one of those long diatribes.
And you're reading all of this.
And I'm reading it to think, golly, they spend crazy money on silly stuff. $3,000 for a rug in the kids' room that gets juice spilled on it all the time and nobody cares. That's part of the story I'm reading.
Right, right.
I'm deep into this story now. And then she says, and bathing one of the babies the other day, I reached for the towel, and it is this dense, thick, heavy towel.
Luxurious.
Nothing like I've ever felt before. It's a freaking ad for the towels. How she can even afford these towels. How these towels are not expensive towels, and everybody can have these towels. Stop sending me that crap. How do I get out of that crap? And then I look up under under Susan's name, and right under her name it says sponsored, which means AI. I want out of that stuff. What's the and I need to stop reading it. As soon as I see something.
You scrolled on it. And see, they know you scrolled now.
They know. Now I'm going to get more of them, right?
Exactly. Yep.
Delete Susan Brown forever. I'm going to report the ad for annoying me. Is it scam? I'm going to call it a scam. It's a scam. It's a fraud. It's a fraud is what it is. That's just frustrating because I've now wasted 5 minutes of my life on this stupid blah, 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 pretending to be one of my friends. You're not a friend. You're an AI bot trying to make me buy a towel. Anyway, I don't even know what brand of towel. I don't care. I'd never buy that. This would be the last towel I'd ever buy in my whole life. I don't care if it's the last towel on earth. I'm drying myself off with toilet paper. Sorry. I'll be all right. They got me. I hate that.
Well, my issue is our own company sends me emails. Your expense report has been denied by the manager, and click here to read the report. No, I'm not doing it.
They're trying to catch you.
Bull schnozzle.
Yeah, they want you to do another
class.
They
want me to click on it, mm-hmm. So I'll have to waste another 30 minutes of my life in one of their online seminars.
Don't you love those?
Yeah.
I'm so mad they got me.
Battalion Chief Shreveport Fire Department Chris Burden spoke to us about they've got some rescue teams heading to Florida.
Florida.
They wish they were going to Florida. Gosh. Going to Texas.
Senior moment.
I know. Subliminal messaging there.
Yeah.
Going to Texas for flood rescue efforts. Hear what he's got to say in about 10 minutes. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Florida.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport Fire Department sending teams to Texas for flood rescue efforts. Battalion Chief Chris Burden joins us right after the break. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Shreveport Fire Department Battalion Chief with Task Force 3, Chris Burden joining us. Chris, good morning. Thanks for joining us. There we are. Yes, sir. Thanks for jumping on with us this morning. Tell us now, you've got a team heading to Texas for flood relief efforts. Where are you guys heading this morning?
We're checking in Bryan, Texas.
Explain how you were called to help. How does that process work, Chris?
So last year we sent a team to Texas for the floods last year, and what they did this time was they called prior to sending out EMACs asking what the state of Louisiana had available. So we were able to fill two Type 3 swiftwater teams, one from Shreveport and one from Baton Rouge. We started, once we found out that what their needs were, we started rostering a team, and everything was we're still gathering stuff together, still getting our minds what we need to take, but we can't start packing or loading until we get the official request.
And what are those needs? What are you expecting when you get there?
We're going to be doing swift water rescues. And some of that, they've been doing swift water rescues for the last 2 days, mm-hmm. in South Texas. So we'll be backfilling with them and following thunderstorms as they pop up. And because they've had so much rain, there's not really a very good runoff. So it magnifies really fast. So we'll follow, if we're not actively doing rescues in a certain location, they'll have us following storms around in case it does start flash flooding.
For those who don't know, the Swiftwater team, and describe the equipment you're taking with you.
We're taking seven people, two boats, which are they're new Wally boats, but they're inflatable, Zodiac inflatable equivalent. They're designed for Swiftwater rescue. The personal PPE, will have Swiftwater vest, dry suits. We'll have all the, we'll have throw bags. We'll be able to build systems if we have to do some type of rope rescue on the water without the boats. The only thing that we don't have capability of is helicopter rescue.
Okay.
Now you're going to be basing in Bryan, Texas. Are you going to be going out to other areas from Bryan?
I would imagine. I don't really. I haven't talked to the DIV supervisor yet, but I would imagine
that our
motor checking in Bryan, they'll let us know where we're heading from there.
Is it possible, Chris, that this could be recovery efforts of people who didn't make it through? Could that be part of this too, or is your focus going to be on rescuing people who still need help?
We'll start off on rescue, but then it could change to a recovery. It just depends on the circumstance.
And I say this to you and to your entire team. My heart goes out to you, and my thanks goes out to you from our community, because you don't know what you're in for. And you just picked up your life. You guys just picked up your life and put it on hold and said, I'm going to go and do what I need to do. What makes a person like that, like you?
I mean, you know, most of the guys on the team, you know, they have families. They don't want their families to have to go through the same thing. Anytime that we have something here, the other states, you know, they're willing to come help. Texas comes and helps all the time. Florida, South Carolina, all the states that we've been to, when we send out the same request, I mean, they're knocking down the door to come help. So we're just trying to do the same and help them anytime we can.
And when you say Swiftwater Rescue, I can only imagine the kind of training you guys go through. Y'all are great swimmers. You're comfortable in the water. You know what to expect in the water. How much training have these guys all been through to do this kind of stuff?
We have to do swim tests prior to the actual class, but everybody that's deploying has gone through awareness operations and the technician level for swift water and a boat operator's class.
Okay.
We're talking with Battalion Chief Chris Burden. Chris, how long are you expected to be down there?
The EMAC was for 7 days, so it could be minus that or a couple of days longer, depending on the circumstances and the needs once we get down there.
And do y'all know yet your living conditions? Will you be in hotels, or do you have any idea yet?
It'll be hotel rooms, unless we're having to do some type of 24-hour operation.
Okay. Which
they try to limit it to 16 hours, but if something happens, we could run 24 hours for the first day or so.
Wow. Well,
you guys stay safe.
Absolutely. Our prayers are with you, and thank you to your whole team from us, please. We appreciate everything you do.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks.
Thank you. Chris Burden, Shreveport Fire Department, Mike McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We spoke with Mark Crawford from the Shreveport Regional Airport earlier this morning, because we got a message. Turn this down because Ruben's not here to turn it down for me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. On the Shreveport Security Systems message board, a listener sent in a picture that had Shreveport Regional Airport is building toward our new destination. And it was an international gate.
Wow.
And Mark Crawford told us there and it was true. And I think it's a good sign for what's happening in our area,
mm-hmm.
just in general. It's long overdue.
You bet. Absolutely.
But to be able to now offer flight, he said Cancun was one of the top destinations that people want to fly out of.
Imagine if you can get on a plane in Shreveport and land in Cancun. You don't have to go through Houston or Dallas right? or wherever. Talk about shortening the trip.
That's just so awesome.
Because even if you fly from Shreveport to Houston, it's still a 2 or 3 hour ordeal, you know, meeting your next flight. You know, and you got to time it right and all that. So, yeah, just, God, it would be so great. And I would fly to Cancun all the time if I could jump on a plane here and I'm in Cancun.
Now, you just flew to Greece not too long ago.
I did. And I had to go through Dallas.
But you started
Dallas,
in Shreveport.
Started in Shreveport, went to Dallas, then went to Atlanta. And no, actually, I went from Shreveport straight to Atlanta. Sorry about that. I went straight to Atlanta. And then landed in Athens. And when I got to Athens, I went through customs.
So only one connection then.
Yes,
Shreveport
one connection.
To Atlanta.
Met my brother in Atlanta, and we flew together to Athens. But I saw a group of friends of mine here locally that were flying to Athens yesterday or day before, and they flew from Shreveport to Dallas, and everything got foobarred after that. So they had to spend a night in a hotel. What a mess.
I don't understand why my wife, when my daughter was swimming years ago,
mm-hmm.
we went to Columbus, Ohio for nationals.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was nationals. She was swimming for Auburn. So my wife goes, oh, I got us airline tickets for $8. But I flew out of Shreveport.
Mm-hmm.
Flew to Atlanta, then flew to Memphis.
Oh, boy.
Then flew to, I'm like, why are the cheaper flights more connections? That seems like that would be more expensive.
That's really silly, isn't it?
It wouldn't it be cheaper just to take one plane and go?
Yeah.
Why? Oh, it was a horrible trip.
Mm.
Nothing to do with Shreveport Regional Airport.
Nope.
Just landing in Atlanta, then taking off again, and then landing in Memphis.
Waiting for that next flight, yeah.
It was miserable.
You feel like it's an all-day excursion.
Oh,
it's miserable, yeah.
Horrible. Now, conversely, just flew to Orlando. Nonstop out of Shreveport.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It was awesome. The planes were nice. Allegiant
yep.
Air.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice flight.
I try when I fly out of Shreveport to get one of those up near the front where you got a little more leg room. And it's an easy flight.
It was great.
Quick little flight to Atlanta. And then, we had a long flight to Athens.
Yeah.
That was all right.
Yes.
Hmm.
By the way, that's it. Ruben. Dadgummit, who gave him time off?
Yeah, I don't know.
He'll be back on Monday. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.